keep bringing them in the doors. So it's good to have everybody here this morning on this sunshiny day. I listened to the Gaithers yesterday. I didn't get to see much of the show, but I saw like the last song of the show or something like that, and they were singing about sunshine, you know, and how we need to be the sunshine. So everybody needs to be sunshine today, and put a big smile on your face so the neighbors see how radiant you are. And then just look over at them and look at the person next to you today and say, "You are my sunshine. You're my sunshine." And then you look back and say, "You're my sunshine too." And then after everybody's been everybody's sunshine, then we can go out and let the sunshine for Jesus Christ for everyone. How about that? Be the sunshine for our Lord Jesus Christ in a world that needs to hear the good news, the good story. A lot of things happen in the world, some by man, some by nature, that isn't good news, isn't good story. But there is a sunshine out there. And the people need to hear the story of Jesus and know the story of Jesus and know the love of Jesus. Speaking of love, I guess 50 years ago, a little boy and a little girl fell in love and got in holy matrimony. And matrimony, okay. Anyway, we want to say congratulations to the Van Horns, Pam and Sam, one on one side. To their family for coming in and sharing this day with them. And there'll be some refreshment, and that's what their cake out front is for, their 50th wedding anniversary. And we so love them, and they're going to sing for us today. I don't know if together, but at least Pam or Sam's going to sing for us. And you'll see how a wonderful couple they have made over all these years, you know, how they complemented each other in the work they did for the Lord. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? How God put them together to work for Him, and it's been a great thing. We need people to run the sound and the video back there in the back. So if somebody would be interested in learning that skill to help the pastor out with that, that would be something. Let him know, and he'll train you on how to do that. And men, it's not scheduled yet. It's not even, we don't even know if we're going to have one yet. But if you would be interested in having a men's retreat, take and fill out one of these questionnaires. Let us know what you'd like to do. There's questions on there. What kind of a retreat you'd like to have, where you'd like to have it, what sort of a thing you'd like it to be. And turn that back in to us so we can see and plan one of those if that's something the men would like to have. So men, there's a retreat information there. Other than that, we are glad everybody is here. God bless y'all. Thanks for being here.
I'm just going to take this moment before Dave comes up to introduce another couple that are celebrating. And Pam and Dave are celebrating their 40th. So let's give them applause too. Glad to see you. So great. Dave, come lead us in worship.
I do a concert every year for an old people's group, and I was a young guy doing old people's group, and I got one coming up next month, and it's old guy doing old music to old people. So I guess it all catches up with you, right? But let's stand, shall we? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
Amen.
More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne. Riches in glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase. More of his coming Prince of Peace. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Let's read from the book of Jude this morning. Let's read together. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. There in the ground, body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. Guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck from his hand, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Father, we look for your return this morning. We're here because of your blood, your shed blood on the cross. Lord, we praise you for what you've done. We love you this morning. Guide us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let me adjust the microphone. Sorry, I'm doing two jobs back here. So, good morning, everyone. How's that? Good morning. Morning. Good? Okay. Yeah, Dan's away playing somewhere, so I got two jobs. We're trying the new headset.
Oh, that's right. You're gonna get close enough.
I usually take his mic every morning, but I didn't take it this morning. Well, good news this week. The queen is dead. The queen of the paper wasps, that is, who was attacking me and stung me three times. Finally got rid of it, and it was a big, huge nest. About this big around, two halves, and it was under a board. So the dog got stung once, Caitlin got stung once, and then I went to try to find the nest. When I pulled the board away, they chased me around the yard. My wife was hoping to get a video, but she didn't get the video of me running from the wasp. But they stung me in each leg, and then I said, "You must die." So then I put on my hooded sweatshirt, my gloves, my long pants and everything, and went out there and flipped the board up and sprayed them all. And one was still got me in the face, but I killed them all. So that was the victory this week. There's going to be no resurrection for them. And now Chris Harder has an issue over there. Her neighbor's trying to get rid of theirs. Anybody have anything to share this morning? You want to share something, Chris? Raise your hand. She can talk about her queen's not dead.
I just thank God for how he can put people in our path to help us through just issues like this. And our neighbor who used to have honeybees came over with his little hood and all that, and he helped me with my bee situation. And then pastor's advice about using peppermint spray really helped too. So I just thank you, Lord, for people who he puts in our path to help us through these things in life that can just be so irritating. But thank you, Lord. Amen.
Roger's back with us after a time away. Ups and downs, right, Roger? I said you're back with us because you had some ups and downs, and now you're back, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you back. You want to say anything? Okay.
I thank the Lord for watching over me and keeping me, and thanks to Peggy for taking care of me. And I thank each and every one for your prayers and your cards and caring about me.
Amen. And Bernice is here this morning. She got a day off, so she was here, or a few hours off.
I want to thank you for all of your prayers, and I'm so grateful that we have a marvelous God who loves us, and we can trust with the big things and the little things. He always comes through. Thank you.
Good to see Terry back. The Andersons back there. Pam, Sam's family. Anybody else want to share anything? Prayer requests?
And he kept telling me, don't pull, just twist. I think he told me about three times. And I thought, he never yelled at me. And I thought, you know, that's the way the Lord is. Sometimes he has to tell me two or three times, Nancy, do this. But the pastor kept saying, don't turn. I mean, just turn it, don't pull. But it works fine, Pastor, thanks. But I thank the Lord for being so patient with me.
Any prayer requests this morning?
I just want the church to pray for Steve. He's still having a lot of nausea sometimes when he gets up. It's not his gallbladder, so just pray that the doctor will be able to find out what this nausea is from. And the other thing is Steve's aunt and uncle who lost their home in the fire. They're doing really well considering they lost everything. They're close to 90 years old, and they have sons and daughters that live close by, and they're helping them in the Red Cross. So it was devastating for them both, but it truly was a miracle because his uncle has a walker. And they had a basement that was dug into a hillside. This happened in Tennessee, so there's a lot of hills and mountains. So their home had a basement that was dug into the mountainside, and the garage was next to the basement under the mountain. So the first floor was above. So his uncle, you know, knowing he could not contain the fire in the garage where it started, had to try to get upstairs where his wife was asleep in bed and try to get her out of the house. The house was just going up so fast in smoke. And so I'm just thankful that he was able to get up there at his age without his walker. He said he couldn't even believe, but that's what adrenaline does. And so he walked up there, got his wife, they both got out, and he never had to use his walker at all, and they were both okay. So I do just want you to keep praying for them, that the right place for them to live, you know, that's going to be the other thing, because he's so used to living on his own, and this may be a time when they consider assisted living or something in that nature. So pray for his daughter and the son who are making these decisions for his aunt and uncle, and thank you again.
Amen. Well, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning safely. Thank you that we made it through this week and that things are going well in most cases. But we pray for those, Lord, who are having issues, having troubles and trials and struggles, that you would be with them. Father, we just think of Steve not feeling well, helping to find out what that situation is. We think of the memorial service coming up for Carl Lachey this next week. He'd be with the family in that situation. And those who have lost loved ones maybe this week, those who have had accidents this week, those who have been in pain this week, those who have trials and struggles, that you would be with them as well. Father, be with those who can't be with us this morning. Just guide and direct them. Give them a blessing, I pray. Keep them safe. I know some are sick, that you'd help them with their sickness. Lord, help us to know you as our Lord and Savior. That's the most important thing. We know that we're only on this earth for a short time compared to eternity, and that we have the opportunity to choose where we're going to spend that eternity. Help us to have our eyes opened, Lord, and our spirits quickened to know that we need to accept you as that Lord and Savior, that you're going to help us to get into heaven, whatever age we are, whether we're children or whether we're into our 80s or 90s. We haven't accepted you, Lord. I pray that today you would open people's eyes to see that there's a need and that you're the answer. So bless us this morning as we take communion in your name. Amen. Heather, switch to my slides. I was looking up this week some different things about communion, and I came on the Nicene Creed. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but it's a defining statement of belief in Christianity that a lot of denominations adhere to. There's different adaptations of that. We're going to look at one this morning. But the origin of the creed was first adopted at the First Council of Nicaea in 325. In 381, it was amended. So this is the Nicene Creed up here. And if you want to say it with me, you can, or you can just listen. So it talks about our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. Amen. We don't say that very often, do we? But those are things we believe. One Lord, one sacrifice, one God, that he died for us all. We didn't have the opportunity to see him face to face or in the flesh, but the Bible tells us about him, doesn't it? We can pray and communicate and talk with him, and he talks with us. So prayer a lot of times is a two-way communication, isn't it? It's just not us telling God what we need. It's him telling us what we need and how he's going to answer. So we have communion as a reminder of what Jesus did for us and of the hope we have in heaven. As we partake together in communion, let us remember what Christ did for us, a sacrifice, and the path he made for us to get to heaven and have eternal life. So we'll pass out the elements, and as we pass them out, prepare your hearts. Make sure things are right with you and God. If there's something you need to get right, then get it right today. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's take the bread and eat together, remembering this is Christ's body broken for us. The same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's drink together. Except for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And there's hope in that statement, isn't there? Because he's coming back. He didn't just leave us, but he's coming back to get us and to take us home where we belong. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for taking on our punishment for sin and the suffering that you went through. Lord, we know that there's a glorious day when you're coming back, because you rose again in power and strength, conquering sin and death, that you're going to take us home where we belong, in heaven for eternity. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Perhaps you've had those moments when maybe driving along or somewhere thinking about things, and the only word that could come to your mind is a name, the name of Jesus. And other than, and not taking it in vain, but looking for peace, looking for some kind of solution, for something that we're thinking about, his name, of course, came to our mind. And then it is indeed a privilege to be able to just say, "Jesus, Jesus." We were going along one time and came around the corner of a, and was going down and turned, and it was a little wet, and the car started spinning. And the young lady that was with us, she just said, "I love you, Jesus." And we ended up headed the same direction that we were going, and the guy next to me said, "How'd you do that?" You know, just the way I planned it, you know, but it is important for us to realize from whence, not only where comes our help, but comes our fellowship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Listen to the song, and then as we sing it, we'll invite you to sing. There'll be a part of it that if you know this, you sing along with us. Just speak the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by confession, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Join me. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something. Say his name with me, Jesus.
Psalm 139. Says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I was looking up this week some facts about the human body. that maybe you didn't know. Human body contains approximately 100 trillion cells. Anybody know that? Brian, you probably knew that, right, Brian? There are nearly 46 miles of nerves in an adult's body. Strongest muscle in the human body is the tongue. It can be the most deadly, too, can't it? Human body is estimated to have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. There are at least 10 times as many bacteria in the human body as cells. I was going to tell all things about your eyelashes and stuff, you know, but you don't want to know those things because just don't look that up. What's in your eyelashes and your eyebrows and everything? So I'm just giving you the good stuff. The average adult takes over 20,000 breaths a day. Each day, the kidney processes about 200 quarts or 50 gallons of blood to filter out about 2 quarts of waste and water. Humans are the only known species that can blush. We can detect taste faster than we blink. The last one, just like our fingerprints, the human tongue has its own unique pattern. I didn't know that. I guess if you let your kids go ahead and lick around the windows of your house, then you can check and see who did it. Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You know, we hear that phrase a lot of times through verses and sermons, and the question is, what does fearfully and wonderfully made mean? Have you thought about that before? What does that mean? Does it mean that we're supposed to be fearful? Well, I was reading some articles this week, and Lori Roloveld, I took some stuff from her, just so you know, but I'm not plagiarizing stuff. If I take stuff from people, I tell you who I got it from. And I read some of her stuff, and I revised some of it. To be fearfully and wonderfully made includes every person from the womb to the tomb. I like that phrase, from the womb to the tomb. As human beings who bear the image of God, each of us began with God, was uniquely designed by God, is made in his image, and is assigned our time on earth. By now, God has made billions of human beings, hasn't he? Billions of human beings. But we're not mass-produced. Maybe someday they hope to do that, but now, thank goodness, they can't mass-produce people. They can't even really create people unless they use things that God has given. Each one of us is individually handcrafted. There's something fearful about how you've been made. So hear the phrase, fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we say it with awe. Oh, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. We use the phrase to encourage one another. We put it on cards and posters and even hoodies. But what does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? It's a powerful truth to remember that we were an idea in God's mind. He thought about us. He thought of each one of us individually, specifically, how I'm going to make that one, how I'm going to make that one, how I'm going to make that one. He didn't go, whoops, that was a mistake. He never says that, does he? You're made just the way he wants you to be. And he turned the idea over in his mind, deciding he liked this, and he said, oh, I like that idea. I like that one. I like that one. I like that one. The thing is, he said it for all of us, didn't he? I like that idea. I like making man and woman. According to Acts 17, he determined the optimal time and place for you to be alive in his creation. So it wasn't an accident that you were born. He said, this is the time you're going to be born. This is the time I want for you. And he had a purpose for us and where he placed us. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God had a plan for you already. This is what he or she is going to do. This is where they're going to end up. So there's an ideal plan for each one of us, but sometimes we mess that up. We decide, I'm going to go this way. I'm not going to do that. When your mom or dad says, don't cross the street, and you decide to run across. Don't touch that, and you touch it. Their plan was for you not to get hurt, but you chose something else. But even in those circumstances, God can say, well, you know, you've kind of gone off a little bit, but here's the new GPS coordinate for you to get back where you're supposed to be. So head back this way and you'll be okay. We just need to make sure we do that. So we shouldn't take our existence for granted. And we shouldn't take one another's existence for granted. For the human body is not just a human body. It's a work of art, isn't it? You've heard of Nick Vujicic? Have you heard of that guy? Spoke on him a couple years ago. No arms and no legs. But he's had a ministry around the world talking to people how God has used him and changed him. And he has a couple kids and he's got a wife and all kinds of things. And we think, you know, my life is over. He's like, my life's not over. I have a purpose for being here, even him, you know, who lost both arms, both legs and all that stuff. He's born like that. But he had to come to a point where he said, I'm God's creation and I'm going to let God use me the way that he wants me to be used. Sometimes we're tempted to see ourselves the way people see us, but God sees us different. Sometimes people say, well, you're a disappointment. You can't do that. You're never going to amount to anything. I know I've said before, Billy Graham did a sermon one time, and one of the guys said to him, you're never going to be a preacher, so you might as well give it up. But that's when we listen to what man says and not what God says, because God's plans don't always fit in man's plans. I've said before about we went to mission field. They told us what our salary is going to be. And I was like crying, like, that doesn't work. We can't make it on that with the number of kids we had. God said, don't worry about man's economy. My economy is going to work. And it worked. Didn't matter what the budget said. God said, I got my own budget. Don't worry about what they say. So it worked out fine. But we have hard times in our life when we got to trust God for circumstances that we don't see the end to. We don't see the finish, but God knows. He's already been there ahead of us. So we believe and we trust in this. We have faith in God's love that's going to take us through a lifetime because he gives us the truth. We've seen in Psalm 14, David wrote about being fearfully and wonderfully made. It's expansive. There's a lot to it. But we have to have confidence in God that he's with us, that he's involved in our lives, and that he knows us. But we say fearfully, that should create in us a reverence and a holy process. So there's a word in Hebrew called yeri. It's translated fearfully, but it's not being scared. It's about being in the presence of what is sacred. So imagine that. You say fearful. It's not being scared. It's a fearful of being, it's like an awe. Like you're seeing God face to face, that kind of thing. It's astonishment. It's like when you go into a magnificent cathedral. If you've been overseas or any other place when they have these cathedrals and you walk in and you see all these decorations, it's incredible to see. The awe and the amazement, the craftsmanship, and the things that they have in there. You're staring at a sunrise, or if you're holding a newborn baby, the awe that this is life. This is a child. This is a human being. Fearfully is a mysterious awesomeness, calling individuals into being. I can't imagine what that's like, saying, there it is, and all of a sudden it's created. Each one crafted individually by God. If you spent time around babies or toddlers, you know that parents impact them, but there's more to it. They come with their own interests, their own personality, their own preferences. We can help to shape them, but they're still going to be themselves, aren't they? So your parents have an influence on you, but you still are going to be who you are. Sometimes the influence is good, sometimes it's bad. But you as an individual have a choice what you're going to pick and what you're going to do. You don't have to say, well, my parents are like that, so I'm like that. You can say, my parents are like that, but I'm not going to be like that. Or my parents are like this, and I want to be like that. Hopefully that's the kind of parents we can be, is that we want to be the parents that our kids want to emulate. Jeremiah 1:5, the word of the Lord came to me, said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So think about that. Before I formed you, I knew you. Can your mind grasp that? Before I formed you, I knew you. I consecrated you. This is what you're going to be. Even before you're born. He knows all that. Psalm 139, he says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. So you know he knows exactly what day you have here on earth, how many days you have, what day it's going to be. Even before you were born, he knows that ahead of time. I'm glad he doesn't tell us, because I don't want to know. Oh, this is the day it's going to happen. Can you imagine living your life like that? Having your calendar marked with a red square and an X? That's my day. I think it's good he doesn't tell us, because we need to treat every day as if it's our last day here, doing the best we can do, not saying, well, I'm done tomorrow. We don't know when that's going to happen. Keep serving him the best we can, doing what we're supposed to do as long as we have time here. But only God can design and create a human soul. We can't create that. We can't control that. We can't capture that. We can't do anything with that. Only God can. There's a physical and biological process between humans and in medical laboratories that ignites the reproductive process, but infusing a biological being with a soul is God's business. Only God gives them a soul. And the soul lasts forever. Our body's not going to last forever. Some of you are saying, thank God. Right? I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to get out of this thing. But it's going to be the same soul. Still going to have your soul. Even with great medical advances in our modern times, the line in between life and death is still a fearful mystery. And each birth remains a moment of awe. And some of them, like unlike anybody else, enters the world. So a new birth, that's a new person. They've never been here before. Do you ever think about that? Even though it's a person, they've never been here before. They're new. They're like, boom, I just landed on this planet. And now they want to discover what's going on, what's happening, how's all this work out? How do I fit into this plan? What difference am I going to make? I saw one of my students the other day on Facebook. He posted something about a birthday or whatever. And I had him in school, and now he's a doctor. I'm like, wow, he's a doctor. I remember when I was grading his papers. Now he's a doctor. You know, that's just amazing. Think of your kids, you know, where they are, what they're doing. You ever thought about that when they're running around the yard, throwing things and putting their hands in cake and all kinds of stuff, eating bugs and dirt? Thinking, man, look at them today. Look what they're doing today. One of my friends I was talking to this weekend, we were talking about the youth group from our church. You know, this guy's a pastor here, and this guy's a speaker there, and this guy's doing what? And he goes, I'm a manager. I said, dude, you're a manager. You're managing people, all these people's lives that you're touching. That's no different. Just because you're in the ministry, you're in your own ministry with people in a different place, that's all. Each of us has a ministry. Maybe you go to the library and you see people there. Maybe you go to the McDonald's every Wednesday, which the Liars Club goes there, they call themselves. And that's your ministry, because none of those guys there that are Christians. And that's your ministry, to minister to those guys every week. The first thing about his creation is that we're different from all created beings. We're the climax of God's creation. He sets us apart from animals and vegetation and even the angels, because the love for us is redemption. He loved us enough to offer us redemption, to be redeemed. Second thing is our design. Physical, biological, mechanical, functional, mental, emotional, and spiritual reflects God's intelligence, wisdom, and creativity in us. Try to compare a human being to anything else. Some people say, yeah, my brother, the ape. He's not my brother. I have no apes in my family. We're a different species. We can do things. We can think. We can feel emotion. We can get married. We can do all kinds of stuff that they can't do. So to try to equate us to an inferior creation is bothering to me. We're not them. We rule over them. God created us to take care of them, to nurture them, to help to raise them, right? Same thing he did with our kids. We're supposed to nurture our kids, not rule over our kids. We nurture them, we teach them, we let them grow up, and then we send them out. Sometimes they come back. And that's okay. I don't mind if the kids come back. If they need help, I'm there to help. I'm not the guy that says, you're 18, now get out of the house. I don't like that philosophy. Maybe some of you have done that. That's your thing, but not mine. My kids can stay with me as long as they want. I don't mind. I love my kids. I love being around my kids. I love being with my kids and even learning from my kids. They're teaching me stuff now. If you want to have that experience, just get out your phone and ask them a question. I'm like, where in the world is that button? How do I do this thing? They're like, here, Dad. There you go. I'm like, oh, cool. But when it comes to changing their oil or changing their tire, Dad, can you change my oil and my tire? Because I have no clue what to do. So we teach them skills to get along in life. We also need to teach them how to get along in their spiritual life as well. How to be close to God. How to deflect those things that are going to take them away. But we were a wondrous and awesome idea of God's. Our bodies move, they heal, they perceive, they see, smell, taste, touch, reproduce, bring pleasure, and even function without our direction. You don't have to go to sleep and say, breathe, exhale, inhale. Can you imagine what kind of life that would be if you had to tell your body everything to do? But it does it on its own. And our heart has an electrical impulse I was looking at this week that can stay alive. As long as there's an impulse, the heart can keep beating even if it's out of the body. Just amazing things that God has created us to be. And when we're born, or when we're formed for being born, there's no big zap of electricity to the mom, is there? Like, boom, there's your electricity to get your heart started for the baby. No, it just starts, which is just amazing to think about, incredible. But there's still things in our lives we haven't fully explained or explored, like our brains, for instance. They say we use a portion of our brain. How do they know that? I don't know how they know that. But some reason we haven't used our whole brain, only part of our brain. Parts of our brain can get damaged and heal and reroute and do other things that we don't know how they do it. We don't know how our soul stays into our body. How does it stay in your body? I have no clue. Someday I can ask that question. God, how'd you keep my soul in my body that it wasn't just going out and coming back in and all kinds of stuff? But it doesn't do that. And how do we love? Does somebody teach us that? Does it come naturally? We learn how to act in love. What about sacrifice and worship? Because God's a designer, a creator, an engineer, a mathematician, an artist, a mechanic, a biologist, a philosopher, all rolled into one. And we're one of his creations that he can testify to. And he says, there's a mechanic, there's a nurse, there's a teacher, there's a foreman, right? There's a person in McDonald's that serves people all day long. That's a job you have to have patience, isn't it? Especially when people are rude. If you haven't noticed, people are rude. My daughter comes home from Target and tells me all the time, this lady was so rude, Dad. You're like, yeah. But you don't have to be, right? You don't have to be rude back. And every individual has a DNA code that's unique to them. So they can check your DNA and trace it back to this person, this person, this person, this person, this person, and that's your DNA following all the way through to you. And our DNA as a Christian goes back to Jesus, doesn't it? That we're his child. We're his kids. We're joint heirs. And God is our Father. So how do we love like we're fearfully and wonderfully made? First of all, we have to believe that love is sacred. Our life is sacred. It has to be cherished. There was a story about a college professor, psychology professor, who taught that we'd encounter in our lives many people that we wouldn't relate to. And there'd be individuals so traumatized or so damaged by life or sin or situations and simply so different from us that we'd be hard-pressed to identify with them. So he instructed his students to remember that each person is made in God's image. And each person bears that image within him, like a signature or a thumbprint of a great painting. He said, look for that image. And you'll remember to respect that individual as a singular work of God. That's hard sometimes, isn't it, though? For some people, they just brush us the wrong way. And then we need to think, you know, maybe I'm brushing somebody else the wrong way, too. Maybe I need to try to be more Christ-like in what I say and what I do and how I react. Another thing is you're not hidden. You might feel lost in the crowd. So many people, you might feel small, insignificant. David clarifies, he said, what is man that you're mindful of him? and the Son of Man that you care for him. It's natural to feel like at sometimes life is hard, maybe because of abuse or disease or depression and disaster. They can all amplify that sense. We can be tempted to despair and think that God doesn't see us. God doesn't know. How can I go through this, God? If you know what I'm going through, how you let me go through this? Psalm 139 reminds us that we're not hidden from our loving Creator, but he's had his eye on us since we were formed, and he has that on us the whole time through his plan. Respect that our difference is part of our design. Sometimes people get frustrated because they're different from other people. That's why God made you different. You don't all have to conform. We don't all wear the same color clothes and the same outfit and the same uniform and have the same hairstyle as everybody else. I could give you all this hairstyle if you want it. But he handcrafted us uniquely different. And he made you and I. The last thing is he designed us to be in a relationship with him. We're supposed to be in a relationship with the Creator of the universe. We talk to him, he talks to us. Right? We listen, he teaches. And then we do what he tells us to do. And then we teach others to do the same thing. That's called discipleship, isn't it? So as I read Psalm 139, ask God to let it be embedded like a seed in your heart, and that he'll water it so it can grow. So we know we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not hidden from him. We're different, and that's okay. And we have a purpose. If you don't know what that is, ask God, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And then help me to do that. Even if other people disagree and you say I should do it, then I need to do whatever that is. So let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for your word, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in awe, created by you, special, different, unique, and that you have a plan for us. You knew us before we were born, before we were formed. You knew us as we were knit together in our mother's womb. We were here at the perfect time, the right space, just like we're supposed to be. Help us to realize that. Help us, God, to love you and to love others beyond what we can do ourselves, and to be an example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our response to being fearfully and wonderfully made is we are an offering. God wants to give us him to give. We're supposed to give it back to him. Let's stand, shall we? We are an offering.
We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. They are yours. We are an offering. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to you. We give. Our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. We are an offering.
Let's do that this week, shall we? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you today. Amen. Thank you.